Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody posted on Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Miami and the Jets were underway as New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield and down the sideline he goes. This is storybook, an opening kickoff return for Damar Hamlin. And this place is absolutely going wild.
I hope you're feeling ready, Buffalo. Not that you're not. How dismissive of me to even assume. Everyone's ready.
Everyone is.
Everyone's ready to go. Jim Nantz, by the way, will be calling his 500th?
Yep, 500th career game.
500th NFL career game in the with the NFL.
Yeah. I saw that tweet.
That'll be fascinating. That it's going to be the Bills and Broncos. And hopefully Buffalo can add a little bit more juice to it for Mr. Nantz and one Tony Romo, as that'll be the call for the CBS broadcast team. But more importantly, the Bills and the Broncos, it will kick off Buffalo's postseason, hopefully an extended stay within the playoff bracket for 2025. 803-0550 is the number to call, as we will get connected with our fans. As always, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Dominic and Clarence. Dominic, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Good afternoon.
Love the show, guys. Long time, first time. And I wish you guys were on the weekdays, man. I would listen every single day if you guys were on.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So Steelers fan here, living in Buffalo. Well, grew up in Buffalo. I live in Vegas now, but I'm back visiting still from the holidays. And I'm just nervous about tonight, guys. I don't know. I think if we blow it, I think Tomlin, I think we need a new coach. I think we need a new quarterback. I don't think Russ is getting it done. And I'll tell you this. When I go to a Steelers backer bar, we have the same saying for Tomlin for the past 10 years. We call him Mr. Status Quo. Because it's first and done, first round done, and I don't think we're gonna beat the Ravens. I hope we do, but even if we beat them, I just don't see us going much farther. And I hope for the best, but I plan for the worst. I'll shut up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Dominic, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And well, obviously, you'll probably have this city in your corner here tonight for Ravens and Steelers. When it comes to Tomlin, by the way, Like, when people will say to me, just off-air conversations with friends or something, like, oh, Mike Tomlin's absolutely a top-10 coach in the National Football League. And I'm like, no, he ain't.
Yeah, no.
That man has not seen a punting opportunity that he would bypass.
And that's, like, I think I said something earlier in the show, like the Super Bowl.
Jeremy said something, like, Jeremy pointed out, like, how cowardly Tomlin has a tendency to be with, like, fourth down situations. And that really opened my eyes to it. So when Jeremy brought it up, and now I'm pretty much just as strong with him on this one, that, like, I do not respect Mike Tomlin as a head coach at all. Like, people will be like, oh, Tomlin and McDermott cut from the same cloth. No, they're not. Not even close. Mike Tomlin is a very conservative coach. He is very cautious. He is the best thing that I can give him credit for is maintaining a locker room with the personalities of Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown for the amount of time that he did before everything came coming to a crashing, grinding halt in 2019.
Yeah.
That is the biggest credit to Mike Tomlin.
Absolutely.
Because all three of those players had egos the sizes of mountains. Like, Roethlisberger included, like, he would have that weekly radio show and he would rip teammates on air.
Yeah.
Like how we bash Aaron Rodgers for it. Roethlisberger did it first. So in order to have a locker room like that and still be able to win and you know, status quo, as Dominic had called in about, but, like, no, like, I have zero respect for Mike Tomlin at this point of, like, the success that he has.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he doesn't have a losing season. He's also not great. You know what that makes him? Mid. The Steelers are not an extraordinary team anymore.
Not by any means.
They're middling. And Mike Tomlin is a middling coach.
Yeah.
That said, Mr. Mid, go get it done tonight?
Please? Question mark?
Please?
Bees? Yeah.
My favorite Cards Against Humanity card. Bees?
Let's smelt.
Oh, boy. Yeah, the Steelers. I'm rooting for Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson tonight.
You know what? It would be like Russ, though.
Broncos country, let's ride.
You're a son of a bleep. I said for you to have that ready today.
He did.
I didn't expect it there.
He had it.
I get what I asked for. Ugh. That's what I get.
Yeah.
That's what I get.
I mean,
like I said, mostly serious today. Mostly serious. But you know what? I feel like Dominic's call, though, is a better time. There's no better time than now to get some of that NFL music.
Yes.
And go through the rest of the playoff brackets.
Exciting about this.
Yes.
Yeah. This is
a great time to do that. I think that if there is a time to do it, let's do it now.
Let's cook, baby.
Gotta let the crescendo hit. And here we go. Starting at 4:30, we've got the Texans and the Chargers. Texans coming in wounded. They are a team that really has been reeling since the second half of the season was going on. And wounded in the sense of injuries to several of their wide receivers throughout the course of the year. Tank Dell, obviously, with that horrifying one. Stephon Diggs loses him. He's lost to injury for the year because of the knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they never got that trio together of Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell outside of what, week one? And they looked fantastic.
Yep.
When that happened.
The titular trio is no more after that.
CJ Stroud having himself a struggle of a sophomore campaign. It has not been the follow-up that Texans fans and even the national media were expecting out of Houston to date. And again, another showing of progression is not linear. The other thing, the offensive line. They have not been doing a good job protecting Stroud this year.
They couldn't stop a bloody nose.
And unfortunately, it allows for Stroud to get smacked around here. He's been sacked 52 times this year.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Like, for one guy to go through that, it reminds me of Joe Burrow a few years back when the Bengals' offensive line was terrible. And funnily enough, that would be a Super Bowl season.
Yeah, as for the Chargers, they're a team that I don't necessarily like for style points.
No.
Greg Roman, once again, kills all things that are fun.
Yep. It's just the stereotypical offense, like, hey, let's pound the rock and then we'll do a pass. Like, it's just nothing.
But even then, they weren't as run heavy as you would expect them to be.
No.
When it comes to statistically, J.K. Dobbins, he did get banged up a little bit this year, ends up with 900 yards on the season. I'm still thinking, though, that like if the Chargers want to win, they do it in a way with a sound defense, and they try to like really drag you down into the mud with them. That said, their last three games, they've ripped up the scoreboard.
Yeah.
So they're coming in hot. The Texans are coming in reeling.
Yeah, I'd hammer the Chargers.
Yeah, the Chargers are probably your favorites in this one for good reason, and it is for a multitude of reasons. It's unfortunate to see Houston like this, but again, anytime that there has been a challenge, even the game that they won against Buffalo, that was a game where both teams were trying to lose.
Yeah.
Outside of that game, the Texans did not win against a playoff-bound opponent this year.
No. And that was a coaching disaster from both sides of the football to end that game. That was just
exactly.
It unraveled completely.
Both teams tried to hand the other the win.
Yes. Yeah. It was bad.
Quite frankly.
It was not good.
Ravens and Steelers tonight, I was just mentioning it. I don't necessarily love Mike Tomlin as a head coach. I think he's meh. Russell Wilson is meh.
And they're the epitome of mediocre.
And a lot
like,
of
that's just what it is.
And a lot of Bills fit. And this is how you get the 6th seed mm-hmm. or the 7th seed last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or just missing the playoffs at 9-8.
Yeah. But you know what? They've all been over 500 seasons.
They've all been over 500. But you're looking at, you're looking at mediocrity incarnate. On the road against the Steelers or against the Ravens here. This should be a game that the Ravens run away.
Should be. But divisional opponent, third time in the season.
Divisional games get weird.
That
as evidenced by Bills Patriots a couple weeks ago.
Bills Jets with the Hail Mary earlier in the season. Like, just things happen.
Bills Dolphins the second time around.
Yeah, but the first time was a blowout. Like, it was just...
And not to mention the two games between the Ravens and the Steelers were both tightly contested all throughout. And the only reason that that score of the second game was by two scores was because Russell Wilson threw a pick six trying to get them back to a tie game.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So,
they beat them earlier in the season, too.
Divisional games can get screwy. They have a tendency to get screwy.
I'm taking the Steelers.
I'm going to pick the Ravens here, but I'm doing it on purpose.
Reverse psychology?
I'm picking the Ravens here. But it's also because it's probably the logical thing to do.
No, 100%.
They are the team that is better. And also, come on, let's be real here. If you don't want to at least try to get a swing back at Baltimore here, with all of the certain discussion of an acronym I'm not mentioning anymore, there's your chance. Hopefully both teams do their part in order to get that matchup there. So if you as a Bills fan want a little get back, you kind of want the Ravens to win tonight.
It would be storybook to have the Ravens come here, right, and then go on to face the Chiefs in the AFC Championship, defeat them, go on to the Super Bowl. But honestly, I get what you're saying. I'll take the path of least resistance if it comes down to it. Like, if the Steelers win, I am not complaining.
Exactly. So, but Buffalo does have to do their part, and they would be tomorrow, obviously kicking off the Sunday slate.
Mm-hmm.
But then, there's still only two games on Sunday.
That's right.
And a game on Monday night. The entirety of the NFC plays after the AFC. What do you feel about that?
I kind of like the split. But at the same time, I would like a little mix in.
I prefer a mix between the two conferences.
Change
over
of
that.
Pace, because the AFC games, the Chiefs aren't playing, of course, but like, I think the AFC is a little more competitive. So if you spread those out a little bit.
I'm looking at all three of these games in the NFC, and I'm loving all of them, actually.
Yeah, starting, I guess I haven't like looked at
starting with the Eagles and Packers, following Bills Broncos. These two teams begun the season in Brazil.
One of them
will end in Philly.
Yeah, when they both wore green, they weren't like supposed to, or whatever was going on there, that weird thing. Yeah.
But the big deal is, even in that game, Jordan Love gets hurt, but it was a tight game all the way through.
Malik Willis, very capable backup quarterback, comes in and does the job. He's done it all season for them.
But the Packers have been a very inconsistent team this year. Meanwhile, the Eagles, with the presence of a certain running back now this year in Saquon Barkley, have really been able to strengthen their offensive production, be a little bit more consistent. I do obviously think the Eagles win this game, and I do think they'll win a lot more convincingly than they did in week one of this season. I think it's based on the direction that the two teams have gone, and Jalen Hurts will be coming back his first game action since suffering a concussion against Washington. That'll be a big deal. Hopefully there's not a lot of rust factor there for the Eagles passer. Following that at night on Sunday night, I think this was smart by them, having Sunday night football probably be the matchup that like was probably the one that's going to draw the least in Buccaneers and Commanders.
Yeah.
I hope you like all of the points, like a Buffalo Rams
with
or
no
a Buffalo
defense.
Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what this game is expected to be.
Hit the over. That's what I would
do. Hit the over on this game and enjoy it. Kick back Sunday night. Watch the Buccaneers and Commanders try to outscore each other in...
Over under 50.5, I would hit that.
Yes.
25 points per team, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Jaden Daniels, with his rookie campaign, has a chance to further cement how incredible it has been. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers getting themselves back the NFC South after plates were a little wobbly starting in week 15. A little bit of turbulence going on there. Yeah. Or I guess if I'm talking with Buccaneers, some waves crashing around the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they go ahead and claim it back. But not only that, they get the 3 seed. Instead of the 4.
Yeah, they're running like Jack Sparrow on the beach, man. Like, that's what they're doing into the playoffs at this point.
Yes, but with a little style and pizzazz, Baker Mayfield reviving his career in Tampa Bay has been a story to behold.
It's awesome when an organization actually gives you the keys and, like,
but
you know,
hey,
trust
the
you.
Browns wanted an adult at quarterback.
No. Who clearly doesn't know how to do his recovery properly
or
follow directions.
Or be a person.
Yeah, be a decent human being.
That too. Monday night, we have the Rams and the Vikings.
It's an interesting game.
LA and Minnesota, obviously the Vikings losing on Sunday night to the Lions drops them on the road to go and face the Rams. This is another game with a lot of offensive promise and potential because of the talent at wide receiver for both of these teams.
Yeah.
On the perimeter, on one side, you've got Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp with Kyron Williams there, Matthew Stafford dealing the ball. And on the other side, Sam Darnold, rejuvenated with Minnesota. Who's he throwing it to? Just the likes of Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
And TJ Hockenson.
And don't forget Aaron Jones in the backfield.
Aaron Jones is in the backfield.
Like, this is a heavyweight bout.
This is, you know, this is some simple stuff. This is going to be another one of those. Hey, do you like points?
Do you like the over?
Do you like points? But the Rams have also been this weirdly inconsistent team offensively, even with the talent that they have.
Yeah. Buffalo was the best game of the season for them.
I would imagine, and it was, undoubtedly, actually. That said, I do think it's going to be a lower scoring. There's the potential we just mentioned. The star power is there. But the potential will not be met because these two teams do have some stout defensive play and a little bit of inconsistency on offense.
Yeah, you saw the inconsistency with Minnesota last week against the Lions compared to the week before where Darnold was hoisted in the locker room, had water thrown all over him.
Yeah.
Like, he had an not slighting his season because he's had a phenomenal season, but
there
have
been games where
both teams could be off or both teams could be on. You don't know what's going to
happen. There have been games where it has been pretty much that, where they're winning despite the offense. And Brian Flores, with that Minnesota defense, has done a good job.
Do you think they'll split the NFC and AFC, mix them up for the divisional games next week? Yeah.
Yeah,
they won't be a run of
alternate
AFC and all that?
Well, then, because if that's the case, then the AFC plays Saturday, the NFC plays Sunday, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And that is probably not a good idea. They'll split it. You have to split it at that point.
Yeah.
And that's probably what we're looking at there.
It's an interesting playoff picture. There are some good matchups.
There's some great matchups here all around. I think, honestly, I didn't really look
at the NFC hard.
It's honestly Ravens and Steelers. That's probably the most boring to me.
It's the most boring because, again, like you said, divisional matchup.
AFC North football sometimes can be peak
just
paint drying.
Like defense, like just watching a slow, low-scoring game. Yeah. Like, it's not...
AFC North football sometimes can be paint drying.
Yeah.
And
not the fun kind that'll make you see stuff like lead paint. This is the real stuff. Gotcha. Was that a bad joke?
I'm going to check to see if Joe's okay and if he's been poisoned or not. And we're going to come back on the other side, Sports Talk Saturday. More of it here, a half hour left. You're listening to WGR.